Let's do it.
Out to the right. 5 seconds to go in the first half. Dante fires deep to the left. Moss caught it at the 11, but now he pitches
look at
it.
This.
Demole Williams! Touchdown!
You gotta be kidding me!
All right. Welcome back to the Climbing the Pocket podcast. I am your host, Jason Brown. You can find me on Twitter at BrownJason. Joined once again, got the full crew with me after, putting JR and Miles to work this week, going through the, I guess in this case, they got to go over their favorite positions. But now we got everyone back in here. Yinka, fresh off his appearance on another show, another podcast. So everybody's been putting in that work for draft season, draft week. And, we're going to go around the room, but before we do that, we're going to kind of put the man on the spot because, I'm flipping it to QB1 first. We're going to JR, but, you got a little bit of news that you posted on Twitter. So, I'm going to need you to talk about that after you let us know how everything's going with you, man.
Everything's good, man. It's draft day, and I talked about this earlier on Twitter. I'll be on KFAN radio today at 11 a.m. with Paul Allen talking about the Vikings and their upcoming draft plans for the draft today and in the following day. So big accomplishment for me. I'm very excited about that.
Yes, sir. We are also very excited for that. Very proud of you. You put in the work and it's great to see it paying off. I mean, you talked about that a little bit, but how are you doing in general? I know you're happy about the appearance, but it's draft week. I guess how many podcasts you do today? How you feeling?
I only did one today, thank God, which is great.
Down.
Yeah, things have slowed down for me, and I'm just happy that the draft is finally here, and I can just sit here and enjoy it.
Good stuff. Get the pizza ordered, get locked in. Miles, my man, how are things, I know you've been busy these days. Have you started your draft prep yet?
Yeah, I mean, kind of. It still doesn't even feel like it's tomorrow for me just because I've been super busy at work, but I'll have my wings and my beer ready to go.
Okay. Yeah, that's really all you need.
Right.
Yeah, that's really all you need. And last.
30-pack just so I can.
Yes, sir.
For Rick to trade out of the first round.
Oh, yeah. It's terrible when that happens, but, it's also good. But it's so anticlimactic. But they're making the right decision. But it still sucks because you feel like you wasted a night. Zaxy Prince, pre-draft trainer extraordinaire. What's going on, dude? What you been up to?
You talking to me?
I mean, is there another Zaxy Prince? I mean, I only know one Zaxy Prince. I figured you were the Zaxy Prince.
It completely cut out, but I wasn't sure. It completely cut out, so I wasn't sure. I'm doing good. I'm very excited for the draft. Because I'm going to be able to catch the very tail end of it. And I will be sending Miles screenshots on my way back. But it's going to be a fun, exciting time. It's obviously a pretty big weekend also for my family. I have a younger brother who, hopes to be drafted or hopes to at least, find a home with the team, whatnot, starting this weekend. So his journey really is just starting. So it'll be a good next couple of days.
Boy, you went full on narrator mode with us right there when you just flipped to, and it's very very important. I like that, Prince. That was good. And we are all rooting for Kunle as well, friend of the podcast. So we are all going to be cheering and hoping that that he hears his name called over the weekend. Hopefully you won't be in a movie when it happens, but
he's going to be in a movie when it happens.
It's funny you guys actually say that because obviously my short film premiere is actually that time, so it's very possible that I could be in some kind of film at some point and Coin's name gets called and I'm gonna miss it and get a bunch of mentions on that day. So
your family gonna come for you. But
hey, real quick, can we talk about the best part of the draft that nobody seems to talk about?
Well, I mean, Miles, of course we can.
The old tweets exposed from all these draft picks, and they're coming out already. You can go check out Josh Allen. Like, just type in Josh Allen's old tweets, and you'll find a whole bunch of good stuff.
He's getting crushed right now.
Yeah, I don't understand how, like, the second thing that happened, you sign with an agent, and then they just go and download the app that just gets rid of your old tweets from, like, whenever, before college, high school, whenever it is. Just get them gone. Like, what is going on here?
If it ain't white, it ain't right.
Oh, man. Oh, man. And already we done lost Saxy Prince. Well, hopefully he makes it back, because I have a question for y'all that, you know, we kind of talked around. We kicked it around the group message a little bit here, but it's something that people talk about a lot kind of after the draft. And you see all the analysis, and hell, we'll probably do a little bit of it when you get in there. But I was interested in it because obviously JR put a ton of work in, put his big board out. And then Arif came back with his big board and his article kind of showing how the consensus generally performs against the NFL, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then obviously, because I'm a nerd, I was going back and looking at, you know, which positions are more valuable when we look at them from a, how much the league pays for them, how much they correlate to wins, and then kind of how they hit throughout the rounds in the draft and all of that stuff. And so I obviously have my idea, which is going to be based in, you know, math and spreadsheets and all of that stuff. But I was curious, because I want to get y'all's perspective, is, you know, how does a team win the draft? And like, when you guys are looking at it, what are your thoughts and on how you view that? And so JR, obviously, we're starting with you, because, you know, of all of us here, kind of draft wise, you've done the most work on this and you actually published a big board. So from your perspective, and you're looking at it, you know, how does the team actually win the draft?
Well, it's tough to say, because right now we don't know how these guys are going to turn out from a 2 to 3 year time span. So I don't think you can necessarily say a team won or lost a draft on draft day. I think it's more of a future projection as far as exactly who won the draft. But if we're just talking about strictly on draft day, I think you just have to stick to your board and the positional value factor. And we talk about, like, for example, if the Giants take Saquon Barkley at 2, I don't think the positional value for a running back is necessarily that high. But let's say that they take Josh Rosen and Sony Michel at 2 and 34, just using that as an example, I would see that more of a win as opposed to just taking Saquon at 2. So just doing little stuff like that, I think you can have some simple wins within a draft. But as far as an overall class, I think that's tough to project. But the way you can determine a win or give out grades post-draft or the days after a draft is basically just seeing who got the most value positional-wise and just number-wise as far as guys that are ranked on your board.
Like, so you, with the amount of work, obviously, that you put into your big board, like, are you kind of just tallying it up at the end of the night and kind of the team that got the most players that are the most highly ranked on your board, that's the team that you're kind of looking at it as the winner? Or are you kind of looking at it a little bit more like they filled the most of their needs, or, you know, like you just said, they got positions at the highest value on my board? Like, how are you looking at it when you kind of go back and look at your board and look at what teams did?
It's a little mixture of both, because some teams feel needs while some teams take best player available. And a prime example of that last year was the Bengals taking Carl Lawson in the 4th round. I don't think that necessarily was a need, because they have Michael Johnson and Carlos Dunlap already in the building. But they cashed in on a guy like Carl Lawson, and now they have a great young piece in him that's a building block for the future. So just little examples like that. And maybe, for example, this year, a guy like Maurice Hurst is probably going to slip. We don't know exactly where he's going to slip this year, but maybe he lands on a contender, let's say like the Eagles or somebody like that, or even the Vikings, a team that doesn't necessarily need him right away, but they can just stash him and have him as a building block for the future. And if he does show promise within his first or his rookie season or his first 2 years, I think that definitely would be a win.
That Hurst to the Eagles pick, that sounds like a very smart pick. Like, someone would make that in a mock draft or something, but we don't need to go down that road. Miles, what's going on? When you're looking at the draft and kind of doing the analysis, running it through, how do you determine who won the draft?
Yeah, I think it's in a similar way that that JR mentioned it. I guess you look at kind of an overall, you look at your rankings in terms of how you ranked each player by tiers, where they went in the draft. Did that player fit a certain, I guess, need for that team, especially early on? Not that it has to, because I do believe in the best player available mentality. But at the same time, what we know is most teams draft by, you know, highest of need. They draft a player at the, you know, let's say you need a quarterback, you're probably going to take him in the 1st round more likely if you have a guy graded in that general area in terms of your grade. But for how I rank, like the Minnesota Vikings, for example, when they in 2015 was, I think, probably the perfect example of how they handled the draft. Obviously, just because we know now that they hit on everything, so it is hard to kind of determine winning a draft in year one until, you know, I like to give it about 3 years, but you're talking about day of or weekend of, because, you know, the 3-day draft, it is kind of what JR mentioned, you know, how they addressed each pick, each value, how they maneuvered the draft if they did make those moves, because we know the Vikings are pretty are known for making draft day trades and stuff like that. So how did they address the positions that of need when they addressed them, and basically just, you know, making good moves, like, you know, Rick's done time and time again where he's traded even just one pick back and garnered an extra pick. Like he's done that again with Cleveland, I think, at least twice that I can recall, when he got Anthony Barr and when he got Matt Khalil, which obviously didn't really work out, but it was still a good move just because you're able to move back and still gain. You move back one pick and still gain value and still get the player you wanted. So just finding smart ways to be able to maneuver the draft, I think, is always a way for me to kind of add, you know, icing to the cake.
Awesome, awesome. So for you, it's not just about the players, but also kind of how your GM maneuvers to kind of, I guess, make smart strategic decisions to maximize, I guess, his chances to do well in the draft as well?
Definitely.
Awesome, awesome. And Prince, how about you, man? When you're looking at it, you know, how does a team win the draft outside of picking Saquon, Geis, and Rashad Penny in rounds 1, 2, and 3? Again.
The Browns pick one here is good.
Because I feel like when I talk to JR and Miles, they hear what I'm saying. And then I talk to Prince and I don't hear anything. Prince, you still with us, man?
Yeah, you can hear me?
Okay, I can hear you now. Good.
Okay. Yeah, what I was saying is, like, yeah, that's the way to win the draft for the Browns. They should go Saquon number one overall, and then they should go Darius Geis at number four. That I would think that they would win the draft. But more seriously, I think it's definitely a combination of what Miles and JR have both been saying. Obviously, you have to weigh the amount of value that they get per you know, per pick and whatnot. But I think it also, obviously, we are a league of, you know, superstars and obviously, you know, players who can come in and immediately have impact. So, I mean, you know, though that it's important when you look at those drafts that a team like the Vikings, whatever, let's say they get a lot of depth players. Let's say that might not start immediately, but, you know, maybe next year, or guys that we let go, those spots are already build, you know, I really think of like the Mackenzie Alexander pick in 26, and how much value that actually had, because, you know, now Mackenzie's in a position where, you know, obviously he started at the nickel position role, but he's also, you know, he's also can play outside. But in that, I guess I'm more leaning towards guys that can kind of come in and immediately impact the team, which is why I think some teams, you know, they say they go best player available, but they really just go best player that immediately fits a need. And that's kind of how I evaluate it. Did a team at least address some of their major holes in the draft, as well as did they also supplement the draft with, you know, players that maybe balanced out those players that potentially could not fulfill the roles of, you know, of being an immediate starter or being a person who, you know, you always have to protect yourself for being a first round bust, or, you know, just like a bust or whatever the case is. So I guess I kind of wait.
Uh-oh. Yeah, I'm gonna have to hop in and save it here, Prince, because, you know,
how much value.
Yo, Yinka, are you in the car right now?
I am I'm definitely in the car.
Okay, because I'm gonna have to hop in right now.
But I'm outside.
Yeah, the cell service is not agreeing with you giving us your takes right now. So we're going to have to come back to you in just a moment here, because it's quite staticky. And the sound effects of me putting dial up in over you right now is probably going to run out about right now. So
okay,
when when you're able to get to a location with a stronger signal, hopefully the next time I flip it to you, we'll be able to get you back in here and get some more of the takes. I feel like what you were saying, though, is that it's a bit of a combination of what Miles and JR were saying, looking at player value, positional value. Also, when you're able to kind of, you know, your GM's able to maneuver in the draft, but also for you, you're looking at players who are able to come in and make, you know, an immediate impact to the team, or in some cases, you know, flipping it where you're able to draft a luxury or a depth piece at a premium position like a Mackenzie Alexander, where then he's able to step in, fill a role for you, maybe in season two, because you went ahead and made that move with some foresight. So there were some good things in there. It broke up a little bit, but I definitely want to make sure the listeners did hear what you said, because you did say some very good things there. I guess the next question I have for all y'all is, what is your absolute favorite fit, kind of player and team, in this draft? So if you could just say, I'm taking this guy and putting him on that team, what are your favorite fits as you look at, you know, these prospects that are coming in and the teams that are out there? So JR, I'll start with you.
This is Lamar Jackson to the Cardinals. I love the fit there. I love everything about it. And I just want to see him paired with David Johnson. I think that'd be a dynamic offense. And it makes a lot of sense, because we've seen throughout Steve Wilkes' past with the Carolina Panthers, he's been able to see what a dynamic quarterback can bring to the table, because he's seen what Cam Newton has done and the damage he has done to this league. So I think the Cardinals are going to make a heavy effort to try to get Lamar Jackson at some point, because it makes so much sense, especially with a division that's on the upswing and filled with a lot of athletic defenses. They're going to need a mobile quarterback back there and not Sam Bradford or Mike Lennon.
Okay. All right. I like that. I like that. I like that. Miles, how about you? Favorite fits in this entire draft class?
Yeah, I got a few, and I'll just my first one's probably Vita Vea to the Dolphins, just with the Dolphins letting go Ndamukong Suh. They have a big hole in the middle of their defense, and I think Vita Vea would be a great fit in kind of what they want to do on defense. And he's a really, you know, run stuffer. He's really good against the double team, gain penetration, you know, in the middle of the defense. So I think he'd be probably one of my tops. And then another one I think would probably be, and it's an in-division rival, but I think Quentin Nelson to the Bears is another one I think would be a perfect fit. Their O-line coach is the former Notre Dame coach that, you know, helped recruit Quentin Nelson. So I think the fit there would be perfect. They need help on the interior of their offensive line. And yeah, I think he'd fit and be an amazing pick at eight for them.
Well, I don't like that one, so I'm not writing it down. We'll go with the first one. Very good one there. Saxy Prince, how about you? What do you like? Perfect fits in this draft. If you could just take any player, put them on any team, what you doing?
Yeah, I think JR had hit on Lamar Jackson, but I think I'm going to go with him for another team. I like Lamar Jackson to the New Orleans Saints. I think it'd be perfect for him to – I think he does need to maybe spend some time, you know, learning from a veteran and stuff, and who better to learn from than a guy like Drew Brees. I think he could sit for a year, whatever the case is, and then Drew Brees can, you know, kind of walk off into the sunset and retire. But I think he would have I think he would have some weapons around him, or you can obviously build around him. And then, his career would take off just being able to learn from Drew Brees.
I like it. I like it. I guess for me, I'm gonna go with Saquon Barkley to the Browns in round two. It'd be the perfect fit if we could just, you know, take a guy, put it anywhere.
Why not Saquon? I love how he slid in round two. And then.
See, in that case, I'd rather have him with the Giants in round two.
Why? They still got no one to block for him.
What? They got Eric Flowers.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Eric Flowers. All right. Okay. We got that out the way. So let's, we're going to go right back through here. You know, some of that, you know, hard hitting analysis here. And the draft is coming up. And so obviously we got to, you know, we got to put some bold predictions on the board. It's been a little while since we did the bold prediction segment. But JR, start with you again here. First round, what is your bold prediction for what is going to go down tomorrow?
So, I mean, this is a bold prediction segment, so I'm going to step way out there. I'm going to say Mason Rudolph is drafted before Lamar Jackson. That's my bold prediction.
Dang it.
Ben Affleck effect. Miles, you sound upset.
I was gonna use that one, so now I gotta.
Okay, well, come up with something quick, Miles.
Yeah, no? Yeah. I'm coming.
Okay. Let's go.
This one isn't as off the wall though. Mike McGlinchey to the Oakland Raiders at 10, I think is gonna happen.
How old is he?
He's 22 going on 30.
Okay, then it might. Okay, McGlinchey to the Raiders. Okay.
Hayden Hurst.
Ooh, there it is. That's the pick right there. That is the pick.
Nathan Shepard, too.
Anthony Miller, Nathan Shepard, all of them. Just Gruden's already got them.
Calvin Ridley, Anthony Miller, all those guys.
Prince, how about you, man? What you got?
I'm just going to take a bold shot out there. I'm going to say Quentin Nelson falls out of the top 10.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Oh.
It could happen. It definitely could happen. And I think, and the reason why I think it could happen is I definitely think there could be a potential run on cornerbacks that happened within the top 10 that could push Quentin Nelson outside of there.
Okay. I mean, it should happen. I don't think it will happen, but it probably should happen. But I like that one, Prince. I like that one. I mean, I hope it doesn't happen because, you know, we will never be able to tell you anything ever again if that actually comes to fruition. But, I mean, it would be the right thing for him not to get drafted in the top 10, just based on him being a guard and all that stuff. I'm going to go with the Browns draft quarterbacks at 1-4. I'm going to steal another Saxy Princism that he gave us way, way back in the day. All right. Let's do some gambling, y'all. So, Miles.
Prince has left us.
Oh, yeah, he's left us. You know, he's in and out. I don't know.
He doesn't like the word gambling, so he's like, yeah,
I'm out. Rolling with that T-Mobile or something. I don't know. What's up? Yeah. Saxy Prince on the Nextel chirp. All right. We're gambling now, Saxy Prince, so I need you to get ready here. Saquon Barkley. And this is a Saxy Prince. We're going to try to get him before he leaves us again. Saquon Barkley. 2.5. So Saquon Barkley right now, you can go over or under 2.5 for when he's taken in the draft.
So over would be him going 1 or 2, and then under would be going 3 and worse. Okay. I'm going under.
I feel like you just did that backwards.
Yeah, you got it backwards.
You definitely did. Okay. Like over 2 is 3.
Yeah.
And under 2 is 1.
So then I would say over. I think he's picked after 2.
Okay. Miles, what you thinking?
Push.
2.5?
I'm just playing. I think he goes under.
Okay. All right. Miles locked in with the hogwash and Gettleman. You don't need a quarterback. You need a running back.
I don't agree with it.
No, I'm saying, you know, you reading the tea leaves and you're locked in with Mr. Gettleman.
Yep.
All right. JR, what you thinking, man?
Yeah, I'm taking the under. I think he goes to the Giants.
Okay. Somebody watch the NFL Network tonight. Lamar Jackson, 15.5, JR. What you got?
I'm sticking with my prediction. I'm going to go under. The Cardinals are at 15, so I'm going to go to under.
Okay. Miles, what you thinking?
I'm going under, too.
I mean, you going under? I thought you just were thinking Rudolph was going to go before him. When's Rudolph going?
Inside the 20s. I didn't say I think he was going to go before him.
That was a bold prediction.
A Mason Rudolph bold prediction, but I was
going to say. But do you actually think that might happen?
Lamar going at right around 15?
No, that Rudolph might go before Lamar.
It wouldn't surprise me by any means. I mean, you see the way some of these scouts and GMs operate and the way what they look for specifically in their quarterbacks.
So you're saying you're taking the under as well, and are you saying 15, or do you have another team in mind when you're going with the under?
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if a team moved up, like kind of like what we saw last year with the Kansas City Chiefs. I could see a team move up inside the top, you know, right around that 10 to 15 range. Wouldn't surprise me at all.
Okay. Saxy Prince, Lamar Jackson, 15.5, over or under?
I'm going to go over just because I kind of – my bold prediction was him – or not bold prediction, but I had him going to the Saints, so I'm going to say over.
Okay. All right. Number of first-round trades, 6.5. Saxy Prince, what you got for me, over or under?
I'm going to go under. I think I have it roughly at 4 trades right now. I don't think it'll be more than that.
Okay, Miles. 6.5 first round trades.
Over.
Oh. Okay. So you're expecting this to be an exciting draft night. A lot of movement.
It'd be closer to 10 more than it is closer to 5.
Wow. Okay. Maybe that should have been your bold prediction. I like that one. JR, how about you? Over under.
I'm going over. I think we'll see 3 in the top 10.
Wow. Okay. All right. Like this. Should be an exciting night then. Anna, I feel like this next number is not going to make Miles happy. This feels kind of disrespectful to his people, but you know, wide receivers taken in round 1. Miles, I'll go to you first. 2.5 over under.
This was almost my bold prediction too. let's see. That half is, I'm going to say under just because I think it might just be 2.
Ooh, okay. You don't think we're going to have another situation where some person who definitely doesn't belong, like DJ Chark, is going to go to the Ravens? At, you know?
DJ no? Chark to the Ravens at 16? Yeah. I mean, I guess there are crazier things. I mean
they drafted Breshad Perriman.
Yeah. At least that was in the 20s.
I mean, this DJ Chark, isn't he like healthy Breshad Perriman? Younger Breshad Perriman? Some Breshad Perriman? No, I mean, they seem like the same person.
I'm going to go under. I think it's going to be 2.
Okay. JR, what about you, man? What you thinking?
I'm going to be different. I'm going to go over here.
Who's that last one?
I think it'll be Ridley Moore and Sutton.
Okay. Yeah. Can't forget about Sutton. Prince, what you thinking, man?
Yeah, I'm with JR. Those are actually the 3 that I thought were going to go. So I go 3. So I'll go over.
Okay. And wow. Who would have thought the day would come that Miles would be the one underestimating the wide receivers? Man. Okay. All right. Cold world. We'll move on here. Last bit of gambling here. Saxy Prince. Number of cornerbacks taken in round 1. Over under 2.5.
Over. I think there'll be 5.
All right. I like it. I like it. I like it. JR, what about you? Over under 2.5.
Yeah, I'll go over here. We probably should have raised this number a little bit.
Okay. Well, next time, Miles, you going over as well?
I'm gonna push. Yeah, I'm gonna go over. I think.
Okay, so we got Princeton at 5. JR, how many do you think will go?
So I'll go Alexander Ward. Ooh, this might be tough. I might go under here. Yeah, I'm gonna switch my answer. I'm gonna go under.
Okay.
I don't think Jackson and Hughes are gonna go in the first round. I'll be different.
Uh-oh.
There's a lot of teams concerned with Hughes off the field stuff.
Oh, sorry. I'm watching the Timberwolves game.
Okay. That wasn't you getting ready to fight JR talking about your man Mike Hughes?
No. It wouldn't surprise me if he fell out of the first, but I'm gonna go 4. My number's gonna be 4.
Okay. All right. That's it for the gambling. You know, hard-hitting analysis that you can only find here on the Climbing the Pocket podcast. And, I mean, really, we got one last thing here that we're going to go over. Actually, 2 last things. And JR, you know, this one here was kind of your thing that you slid in here for us, where you said we need to have some kind of a bet that we're putting down on this next question. So I guess, you know, given that the bet was your idea, I guess, what do you think the bet should be?
I don't know. I was hoping this could be an interactive group discussion. Somehow,
like the winner gets to pick, what the Avi is for the other people on the podcast for like 24 hours.
Yeah, we can do something like that.
Yeah, nothing that will get anyone like fired from their job or anything like that. But they get to choose what the Avi's are for the remaining people on the podcast if they get this next question correct.
Yeah, I'm cool with that.
That work for everybody. Miles, Saxy Prince.
Can you repeat the question?
Well, the question, I haven't asked the question yet.
Oh, well, what's
whoever
going on?
Wins the bet that's, you know, coming up sure. Here. Whoever gets the question right
flies out.
Gets to pick the Avi for everyone else in the podcast for a 24-hour period.
Or if Prince or I win, you guys fly out here.
Yeah, you sending me some? You sending me some money for a flight? Or
no, you said you sending me some money?
you hit me on Venmo. We'll get that worked out. You okay. Got that thing, Carol. All right. Prince got movies debuting. Family members getting drafted. I'm gonna need you to let me hold 20, Prince. Let me hold 20. All right.
I'll let you hold 25.
With the 30th overall pick, the Minnesota Vikings select Saxy Prince. Who you got?
I will go with Maurice Hurst, defensive tackle.
Okay. Miles, who you got?
Jair Alexander, cornerback, Louisville.
Okay. JR?
Connor Williams, tackle, Texas.
Okay. I will put nobody because they're trading out of the pick.
No, you wait, have to.
No,
somebody.
You didn't say you could do you that. Pick
no, 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 Jay.
I did not say you couldn't.
Man, you huffed.
No, no. We say you could. You can't. No.
I got to pick somebody. That wasn't in the rules.
Just pick a name. If they stay at 30, who are they taking?
We just revised the CBA.
I'm going on strike right now then. All right. Miles took Jair. I'll go Mike Hughes then, even though, you know.
Even though what? Say it. What?
JR got me concerned now, you know, about these off-field things. You know, he'd be fighting this stuff. Miles, ain't no fighting.
You're in jujitsu and stuff like.
Yeah, I'm not worried about him fighting. I mean, he plays football for a living. I'm okay with it, but you know, apparently people are concerned with him fighting. And that could cause him to drop
at a frat party his freshman year of college. That's the rest of his life. Yep, I love that.
It's terrible. All right, get those all locked in here. Write them down. Just change this later to make sure I win, but you know, I write these all down so that they're all locked in. And then the final thing, maybe the most important thing we need to talk about on this podcast, just to see where everyone is really at with it. And you know, Miles, you have some passion about this topic, so I feel like I'm gonna kick it to you first.
It is the easiest question we've.
And I know you're very locked in on your answer here, so you know, this or that, drums or flats?
Flats, like straight up, like I don't. If I could at a
wow,
when I go get wings, if I could just order just flats, that's all I'm getting. Come don't on, give me drums. That's a week.
Oh wow. Boy, here we go, and this is what we want right here. This is what we expected a little bit here. You know, a little bit of back and forth. Saxy Prince, you know, I'm gonna start with you first because you know maybe I was thinking maybe Miles was coming from a Minnesota perspective. Is he repping for all of Minnesota with the flats, or are you going in a different direction?
I'm definitely going in a different direction. Growing up, even with all the Nigerian food my mom would make, she would always make sure the chickens were drums. Always, 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 always. It's more meat. You can just hold it in the pot.
his phone didn't even like his answer. His phone was like, this is a terrible answer. I'm hanging this up. We're done.
Minnesota internet was like, nope, Miles is correct. We rock with the flats around here. This and cut Saxy Prince off.
This should be a worldwide thing.
Okay, well, JR, I need a counter from the South. Where you at with it, man?
Drums, by far. Like, okay. Wow. You want to enjoy wings. You don't want to have to work so hard. You have to work too hard to eat flats. That's you work way too hard.
That's your issue with it?
Yeah. You have to work too hard, and then you get more meat off the drums.
Nah, you get. Uh-oh. I don't know. You don't get as much fat and as much.
You right?
You don't get as much like the nerve endings in the flats.
See, y'all getting too technical.
What drums are you eating, Miles? There ain't no nerve endings. What drums we eating?
I'm telling you, I promise you, there is.
I'm not saying that there ain't. I'm just saying, like, the person who makes them makes sure all that stuff.
Is your phone going to hang up again? Like,
Saxy's phone does not want him in here arguing about chicken.
Nope.
It is just
said, it wants me to go and eat chicken. That's what it wants.
That is enough. You will not be here arguing about chicken. Well, I feel like before we go too far down this,
you
know.
You didn't answer, Jason.
I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I really don't care. Like, it's chicken wings. If they're seasoned right, I will eat just about anything.
No doubt.
But I'm choosing. I rule drums, man. Yeah, like all that extra fatty stuff you're talking about, that sounds like delicious.
So you can't even chew some of it.
The real question is ranch or blue cheese? Let's discuss.
Oh no. Yeah, see, Saxy Prince ran away from this.
I'm hanging up because I know y'all answer, so I'm
Miles, what you get at the bowling alley? Was it ranch or blue cheese?
I don't do blue cheese. I do ranch.
Okay. JR?
Blue cheese, man.
I knew JR was going blue cheese. That's all. I'm gone.
Blue cheese.
Let's end it right now.
I roll with Miles on this one. Can't do it.
The crumbles at the bottom are the best part.
I mean, you know, it's okay. But you know, I'll give me the ranch and I'm good. Some drums, some ranch.
There would literally have to be no other option available for me to go blue cheese.
We lost Prince, but I'm just gonna ask you guys, just because you know, I want to know.
He was gonna say French, probably.
What is your what's your favorite wing like flavor?
Ooh,
I'm a simple guy. I just like mild or hot. I'm good with either one.
You just like straight buffalo.
If I'm feeling fancy, I'll get garlic parm.
Ooh, okay.
I was gonna say, I think garlic parm.
All right.
If not, yeah. Like the regular like honey barbecue something.
Yeah, I'm real with the buffalo. Lemon pepper is good too. So you know, every now and again, you got to hit the lemon pepper. But usually, it's just the straight hot buffalo for myself.
I think of Rick Ross every time someone says that.
You need the lemon pepper hot or the lemon pepper wet. All right. Well, obviously, we have gone way off the rails here, having arguments about chicken wings at the end of this pod. But you know what? That is all right, because it's draft day. And I hope everybody will be, you know, cracking open a box of some chicken wings, opening up a beer, and enjoying this wonderful evening. So, listeners, thank you for sticking with us. If you have some chicken wing takes you want to fire off to us, or if you have, thoughts on any of these over-under predictions or you know, bold predictions that we made on the show, By all means, feel free to hit us up on Twitter. And yeah, I think that's about it. We will definitely be talking to y'all soon, because we're definitely going to have some things to say after each of these rounds in the draft. So yeah, gentlemen, I guess go and enjoy your evenings. I will be checking on y'all tomorrow. Have a good one.